Welcome to Two Wings to God. I'm your host, Rob Agnelli. There's a familiar spiritual maxim that goes something like this. The saints all know they are sinners, but the sinners all think they're saints. The lesson of this saying is one of humility, and like all things related to this most necessary virtue, we tend to like pithy little sayings like this. But if we're honest, we'll admit we don't actually believe this to be true. Perhaps compared to the great saints, our sins are great, but our sins are relatively small compared to most people. Also, could it be true that all the saints knew they were sinners? G.K. Chesterton has a great example when he tells of St. Thomas Aquinas how the priest who heard his confession said, listening to the dying man's confession, he fancied suddenly that he was listening to the first confession of a child of five. We can multiply the examples of saints with similar confessions, but the point is that if we are honest, they could hardly label themselves as sinners. Were these holy men and women deluded, or is there something more to it? Stay tuned to today's episode to find out. Let me hear your words above all other voices.
In this world. The saints all know they're sinners, but the sinners all think they're saints. This remains nothing more than a pious maxim unless we are willing to grapple with the term sinners. But it can be a rule of life if we're willing to see it in the way that it was meant to be, in the way that all the saints do. It is not so much in their actions that the saints see themselves as sinners, but in their capacity. In other words, they are absolutely convinced that they are capable of committing any and all horrible acts. Not only that, they are convinced that given different circumstances, they would in fact do so. It is only by the grace of God that they did not, and therein we find their great humility. This is why the most humble people are also the most merciful and slowest to judge. When they meet someone who is in the depths of sin, they realize that the situation could very easily be reversed. In fact, they realize that given the concrete circumstances of the other person's life, they probably would have done worse. An honest person would see that it is by chance alone that it is the way that it is. A person who is striving for holiness will realize that it was God's grace that kept them from being in those circumstances, and it is He who has preserved them. By repeatedly recognizing this, by taking it into our hearts, and acting like the saints came to be more and more dependent on God's grace and less capable of sinning. This, I think, is G.K. Chesterton's point about Aquinas' confession. It was the confession of a five-year-old because the dumb ox was humble. In a world marked by the cult of celebrity, we are scandalized regularly by the actions of politicians, athletes, and actors. We like to read about them and about their indiscretions and downfalls. But I wonder, how quick would we do this if we were truly humble? These are real people who live in a vastly different world than most of us, with a whole set of temptations that most of us cannot even begin to imagine. Are we absolutely sure that given the power politicians have, that we wouldn't actually act worse and do worse things than they do? Are we absolutely sure that given the number of women who throw themselves at professional athletes, that we would remain chaste? Instead, we often sit in judgment based upon our own situation. It is easy to say you wouldn't be corrupted by power when you don't have any. It's easy to say you would be faithful to your spouse when the worst you deal with is a neighbor who is a little flirty. It is only humility that will save us from the glamour of the world, so much so that we will thank God for preserving us. This is why all the saints also desired to be hidden away. They saw how easy others were trapped and knew they would easily get pulled in as well. The key then to humility is the recognition of this capacity for depravity. But it is not just in moments of honesty about our situation that we realize this. It can also be in moments when we are able to glimpse the depravity of our own hearts, moments that usually come about through suffering some humiliation of our own. For many years, I would sit in judgment of other people about the behavior of their kids. For the most part, my thoughts remained just that, inside my head and my mouth remained shut. But there were many times when I asked, why don't they just control their kid? It never even occurred to me that there were, in fact, times when you can't control your kid. It never occurred to me until, that is, I was on the receiving end of that and actually had a child of my own, a child suffering from autism that at times simply could not be controlled. Now, there are a lot of people who are supportive and understanding, but for the most part, I received stares, direct judgments on my parenting, and even parenting advice. It is hard not to experience that as hatred and see them as an enemy. I could even lash out at them. But truth be told, I know they're merely expressing what was in my heart for many years. It took being unfairly judged for me to stop condemning in my heart. It took humiliations for me to grasp that without humility, I would never be freed from the trappings of my own heart. And this is the point. The point is that until we learn humility and see it as truly good for us, we will never experience true spiritual growth. We will never become saints without it. Humility is the habit of recognizing our total dependence upon God to save us from our greatest enemy, that is, from ourselves. It is the only weapon we have with which to fight ourselves and our own pride. For many of us, the daily cross that we must pick up and carry is our own weakness. Humility is the fulcrum by which we raise this cross and carry it. It doesn't just take moments of humiliation to grow in this virtue, though. St. Thomas says that humility is truth, and what he means by that is that our growth in humility is proportional to our love of the truth. This idea is captured perfectly in all places in Adam Smith, yes, that Adam Smith, in his companion to The Wealth of Nations called The Theory of Moral Sentiments. He centers the treatise on what he calls the moral judgments of an impartial spectator, which is really the virtue of humility. According to Smith, the key to happiness is to be loved for being truly lovely. His point is that while we may seek the esteem of others, we should do so based only upon the truth of what we are. We should not seek to be praised for those things that we are not, but only for the things that the impartial spectator of ourselves would say that we truly are. How easy it is, then, to grow in humility simply by ceasing to pretend to be what we're not, to accept praise graciously, but only for those things that are really true. We don't need to blow trumpets for our faults, only to cease to pretend that they're not there. To love the truth so much that you don't want others to believe good things about you that are false. That bears repeating. To love the truth so much that you don't want others to believe good things about you that are false. Of course, it is this relation to the truth that ultimately causes the devil to flee and why he hates humility so much. He flees in the face of humility, and thus it's a great spiritual weapon. But in order to use this weapon, we must first understand how it works. To quote C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, in which Screwtape tells Wormwood that the key to destroying humility is to, quote, make him value an opinion for some quality other than truth, thus introducing an element of dishonesty and make-believe into the heart of what otherwise threatens to become a virtue. By this method, thousands of humans have been brought to think that humility means pretty women trying to believe they're ugly and clever men trying to believe they are fools. And since what they are trying to believe may, in some cases, be manifest nonsense, they cannot succeed in believing it, and we have the chance of keeping their minds endlessly revolving on themselves in an effort to achieve the impossible. To anticipate the enemy's strategy, we must consider his aims. Holiness, then, really is circumstantial, but humility is the only path we can take to set those circumstances in our favor. For more on this and other aspects of our divine faith, navigate over to www.twowingstogod.com. That's www.twowingstogod.com.